Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome home. Are you totally confused? You're like in totally the wrong side of the church. Yeah. You come home from college and somebody's sitting in your pew. It's one of life's little adjustments that we all have to make. I hope that you'll forgive them, because that's what our theme is today. Good segue, huh, David?
Yes.
By the way, it's you that's sitting in her pew. But we forgive you. It's all good. So this morning, there's this incredible lesson in Luke about Jesus going to the home of a Pharisee. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this story follows right on the heels of the religious authorities accusing Jesus of all kinds of things. They're getting nervous about him. The Pharisee invites him to dinner. Just minutes before, they had said, "Look, this guy eats with sinners and tax collectors and all manner of people. He cannot possibly be the Messiah." So there he goes, and in the middle of his meal, a woman in the city comes and weeps and anoints him and dries his feet with her hair. Now, put yourself in the place of those who are gathered at this highfalutin meal with one of the Pharisees, with this supposed wonderful rabbi. Imagine if some woman off the street came and all of a sudden began to weep and anoint the feet of your honored guest. Most of us would be absolutely horrified. Unless, of course, we lived in Berkeley. And we would then think it was perfectly normal. But most of us would just sort of go, "Wow, what is this about?" Well, the response of the Pharisee is really interesting. He says to himself, if this man were really a prophet, then he would know what sort of woman was at his feet. He must not know. Because this woman who is a sinner has no right to be touching the rabbi. Keep in mind, in this day and age, during the time of Jesus, a woman didn't walk up to a man that she did not know and touch him at all. It's just not done. And you certainly, as a woman, would not go and touch a rabbi that you didn't know. And if you were a known sinner, quote, you definitely would not do that. Tradition has often said that this woman was a prostitute. And there's just one problem. Scripture doesn't say that. But it's a nice story. She's a sinner, and the word that's used for sinner is the same word that's used for all of us who are sinners. That image of her kneeling at his feet and washing them with her tears and anointing them with oil is one of my favorite in all of the gospel. She is blessing Jesus for the sake of blessing Jesus. She doesn't ask anything of him. She doesn't say anything to him. She makes no request. She simply blesses him with oil and tears. She's going way beyond what would have been expected of anyone in showing respect to an honored guest. Well, in the story, Jesus takes this occasion to sort of upbraid his host. He points out to this Pharisee, who is just aghast by this whole thing, points out to him, "Well, look, when I came in, you did not offer me any water for my feet, a normal gesture. You didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't anoint my head with oil. All of the things that one would normally do for an honored guest, you did none of them. You showed no hospitality or concern. But this sinner, this outcast, as you call her, this woman of the street, has shown it in great abundance. She is the forgiven one. David Losey, in his commentary, points out that if you look at the tenses of the verbs, Jesus has met this woman before. It says that, it's kind of a complicated thing, but in the end what it says is that he has already forgiven her at some point in the past. He knows who she is. And yet he continues to allow her to do this thing. And Jesus holds in contrast the behavior of those who should know better and this woman of the street, and then draws them all in to a discussion about forgiveness. It's a great story. Jesus forgives the unforgivable. He allows her back into the community when she shouldn't have been allowed, and holds at arm's length the behavior of the acceptable, the honorable, the Pharisee. At the end of the story, he again pronounces forgiveness. Your faith has saved you. Well, we often think of Jesus as being in the forgiving business. But I wonder about us. How do we see forgiveness in light of this story? Well, what is forgiveness? Is it a characteristic? Is it just a fine thing to do? Or is it a duty? It all depends on how you've been brought up. Is it just something to emulate, to copy? Or do we do it because we're told to do it? It's an interesting question. Forgiveness takes all kinds of qualities. And when we look at this story, there's a particular quality that I want to come to at the end. But if someone does something harmful to you, are you inclined to forgive them or not? Now, I know people in my life who I don't think have ever forgiven anything that's ever been done to them, ever. I think they rejoice at the invention of the iPad because it's a great way to keep a list. You can store everything that ever went wrong in your cloud and pull it back down whenever you need. I think about that story of Ahab, and I think, that's one way. Someone does something wrong to you. In the case of Ahab, what was it, what happened in that story? Nahab would not give him land. Well, of course not. You don't give away land in that day and age. As a matter of fact, it belongs to you and your ancestors forever. You can rent it out to people, but it belongs to you. But the king wanted the land. And Jezebel said, I can get that for you. By the way, this is one of the earliest examples of eminent domain. I'll get it. This man has done you wrong, and we're just going to kill him. No forgiveness. Well, you all know people, maybe not that extreme, but who never forgive. But what about you? What does it take for you to forgive? Repentance? What's the condition under which you will give forgiveness? I think of so many times that I've done wrong to people. I could almost make a profession out of it. And I got to thinking back, under what conditions did people forgive me, or did I forgive? And almost always forgiveness doesn't come until you say, I'm sorry. and mean it. Right? I remember as a kid, you know, I was always doing something wrong as a kid, every day. I should have had a t-shirt that just, every day I had a t-shirt that just said, I'm sorry. Just to cover all the bases. But I remember so often you would say, oh, I'm so sorry, Mom. And my mom would say, I don't think you mean it. Forgiveness withheld. Very biblical. Or maybe you forgive people who you think might change their behavior afterward, right? That's one of the conditions we can put on forgiveness. Well, what's the point of forgiving them? It's just going to do it again anyway. But for Jesus, forgiveness is something altogether different. It's not conditional in the same way that we make things conditional. Forgiveness is not a habit. Forgiveness is not a command. It's not a duty. I mean, that one's rife in Christian culture, right? I cannot tell you how many times non-Christian people who have wronged me have said to me, well, you're a Christian. And I say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you're a Christian, you have to forgive me. Really? Fine, I'm a Buddhist. Well, then you're in all kinds of trouble. All right? So it's your duty to be a forgiving person, but not for Jesus. Forgiveness is a foundation, an expression of love. Now that's hard. What Jesus says to his disciples and to anyone who will listen is, love one another. And part of what it means when Jesus says, love your enemy, is forgiveness. It's really, really hard to forgive without love. And it is almost impossible to love without forgiveness. So in a way, at the very core of our faith, this faith that saves this woman at the end of this gospel, is that God has loved us so much that God has forgiven us everything again and again, and then called us to forgive others. This woman of the city, this sinner, receives that love and that forgiveness, and she pours it out on Jesus. And Jesus calls us to pour it out on the world. This is certainly one of my favorite stories. And it's one of my favorite stories because it breaks apart our notion that forgiveness is something we can withhold until we get what we want. Forgiveness is not something upon which we can put conditions. Forgiveness is not something we can hold for ourselves. Forgiveness only happens because God first loved us and gave us the power and the authority and the ability to love others and to give away that forgiveness. So hear the words of Jesus. You are forgiven. And you are loved. Your faith has made you well. Amen.